turn in your Bibles in Galatians chapter 3. Here at verse number 11, we took a look at this where the Lord says in Habakkuk about the just shall live by his faith. That's the quote that's there. Our brother Paul, as he's writing to the Galatian churches, the churches of Galatia, he references this. He's talking about salvation here. Habakkuk's situation is one of despair initially, and the things going on there. He makes a cry and plea unto God. The Lord reveals what he's doing there in Israel and his purposes in using the Chaldeans for justice or for judgment against the nation. And he causes Habakkuk to see that. At the end of that book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk makes the statement and makes the extolling of the power and greatness of God and how the Lord works mightily in things, even a thing that is on the outside, it's bringing Israel to their knees. But he says at the end, even though in my day, if I don't see a thing that's quote unquote good, as we would estimate it by the flesh, and he mentions there much about the crops failing, he says, my eyes are going to be on the Lord. I was letting circumstance trouble me. I was allowing circumstance to trouble me. But he says, my eyes from henceforth are going to be on the Lord. And that's what we need to remember. And we took a look over in Romans chapter 1 and how that passage in Habakkuk is quoted from the standpoint of salvation also, where the apostle says he's not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel for them, for their souls, for their sins, that's how sinners are saved. And then in Hebrews chapter 10, and I want you to just turn over there real quick, and from there we're going to bounce to another passage quickly. And he mentions here, and he reminds them of the things that he does in this passage. He talks about how we need to enjoin ourselves in the church to draw near in verse 22, to hold fast the profession of our faith, verse 23. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. In verse number 24, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. In verse 25, he speaks about willful sin. In the coming verses 26, 27, 28, 29, verse 30, the Lord will judge his people. He says, but he encouraged them, remember those former days. Remember when you were first saved, the things that you endured for the sake of the Lord and the gospel. Verse 35, cast not away, therefore, your confidence in the Lord, the outspokenness, the frankness, the bluntness of your faith and of your witness to the world. Don't cast that away, your confidence in the Lord, that through his word he will touch sinners' souls and hearts and will save. He will convict. He will reveal sin. I believe it says in Ephesians, if I'm not mistaken, it says that we should not be associated with the things of wickedness and sin in this world, but the children of God should rather reprove them. Okay, that's where we're to be. We're not to be mean. We're not to be ugly in a sense of how we would handle ourselves in the flesh. But God says sin is sin and wickedness is wickedness. And we need to tell that when we run into it, and that's the case. We just need to stand in that and tell what our Lord says about it. Cast not that away, therefore, your confidence, that outspokenness, at frankness, which hath great recompense of reward. Why? Because the Lord has called us, saved us, in our case, put us in his church, and we are to be witnesses of him. Well, you can't be a witness without your conversation being a witness. Okay, and that's what the point that we're going to take a look at this evening with the Lord's help. And he says you have need of patience. In verse 36, after that ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise, that's the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, that eternal hope of everlasting life and of being with our Savior eternally, that is the hope that we have, not I hope he's really telling the truth, not that kind of hope, I really hope that works out, that Jesus is able to pull that off coming back and getting me. It's not that kind of hope, it's a no-so hope. We know that it's so, and we're just waiting for it to come to pass. After you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise, because verse 37, for yet a little while, And he that shall come and will not tarry. Jesus is coming back. And just because there's been scoffers, just because there have been those that have doubted it, just because you and I have been waiting all of our lives for it and it hadn't come to pass, he's coming back. He's coming back. And we need to know that and not doubt that. Now the just shall live by faith, verse 38. And if any man draw back or shrink back or cower back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Is the brother speaking about himself? Or is he speaking about the Lord? I would say yes. As I say, the Lord has no pleasure in those that draw back from him. The Lord has no pleasure in those who draw back from being faithful in him, right? He doesn't have any pleasure in that. The apostle would have no pleasure in that either. And so the quote of that scripture in Habakkuk is mentioned here again. And here it's talking about service. The other passages that we looked at in Romans and in where we're at here in Galatians chapter 3, those are talking about salvation. Those are talking about being saved. It is by grace through faith that we are saved. But here, the brother mentions it and speaking to the Hebrews that it is by faith that we live for the Lord. Now the just shall live by faith, because this is speaking to the saved. To the saved Jews, and certainly there's information that we can draw from this to ourselves. Here in verses 22 through 26 and on down through there, that is speaking to the children of God. And the context of the New Testament is always that the children of God are to be in his church. And those things about drawing near and holding fast and consider one another to provoke unto love and good works and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's speaking in church context, isn't it? It is. Okay. But we are not of them, verse 39, who draw back into perdition or to destruction, but of them that believe into the saving of the soul completely. Now our souls are saved. Our bodies are not. Our minds are not. But I tell you what, the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ that he's brought to you and me, there's a promise of being glorified one day in there. Amen. Now I'm thankful for that. I'm glad I don't have to live in this body for eternity, in this old mind. I'm glad that I'm going to get a mind like Christ. And so he's alluded to that and spoken of that Jesus is coming back. And we need to be steadfast. We need to not shrink back from into this destruction. We are not of them who draw back or shrink back or go after the way of apostasy, get our doctrine not lined up with the doctrine of the Lord. And I tell you what, our doctrine is manifested in what we do. We are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believing to the saving of the soul, and it's manifested in mine and your life. It's manifested in our lives. How is it that faith is manifested in the life of the child of God? How is it? How is it? How is it? Where's this passage that we're looking at in Hebrews chapter 10? What's next? Is it not Hebrews 11? Amen? And does not this passage talk about the faithfulness of the people of God? How was their faithfulness manifested? By what they said? By what they did. By what they did. That's the testimony that they have. Did their faithfulness save them? No, we've seen that it's not their faithfulness, their works have not saved them. It's Jesus that has saved them. They've trusted in him, just like you and I did that day that the Lord called us and showed us Jesus Christ and the necessity that we had of Jesus Christ and the necessity of our sins being washed away and our sins forgiven, the necessity of having and needing a righteousness that we have not in ourselves. We needed that righteousness, and I had no way to get that righteousness, but Christ gave it to me, and my sins were laid on him. And now that is manifested by a life. A life dedicated to the Lord. We are not of them who draw back or shrink back or apostatize into destruction. Amen. And so, walking down through here, We've got Abel. We've got Enoch. We've got Noah. You're familiar with this passage. We've got Abraham. He was called to go out into a place, verse 8, which he should, after receive an inheritance. He disobeyed and got it anyway. No, it doesn't say that, does it? He obeyed in his mind. Yeah, in his mind and his heart, but it led him to go. It led him to go. It was manifested in that he went. That's how our lives are manifested as a witness through the Lord, that we went, that we go, that we obey him. That we just don't talk about it, but we do it, right? We do it. We use it. We use the Word of God. We take the Word of God and apply it in our life. He looked for a better country and heavenly in verse number 16. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. You know what? I don't want to be ashamed in the presence of the Lord and his coming. What a terrible thing to be off sinning when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. Wouldn't that be terrible? Right. Now I'm going with him. But to be off sinning, off in some wickedness, willfully disobeying the Lord when he comes back. Wouldn't that be terrible? Amen. We don't know when he's coming back, so we need to be faithful. We fail, yes. We need to repent and get that right with him and purpose to serve him well from within to without. Moses is mentioned here and different ones. He forsook Egypt and he desired this hallmark verse in verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's telling me that sin, you can enjoy it. It'll be appealing to the flesh. Somebody that's trying to tell you they're happy all the time, when they're being sinful and disobedient, it's blatant contrary to the Word of God, and having to tell you that they're happy all the time, probably aren't happy. Happiness is manifested in you. If I'm happy, you can tell it. I don't have to tell you I'm happy, do I? Can't you see it? And if I'm sad or if I'm troubled, you can see that too, can't you? I don't have to tell you. But you know what? You can pursue disobedience and wickedness and be enjoying it and have a sense of joy and happiness in it, but it's not of the Lord, and it'll run out. It'll run out. I said joy. I take that one back because joy is of the Lord. Fun is of the world. And you all know me. I like a good time. But joy is of the Lord. Joy is that which we have from God even when things are bad on this skin. Joy comes from the Lord because it's based on Him. And then it goes on down here. Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, who through faith, verse 33, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again. The just shall live by faith. The children of the Lord will live and serve and be a witness of Him and a testimony of Him by faith in their feet on the ground life. You hear what I'm saying? In the purpose and walking and going on daily things that are evidence in their life. Because, listen, others were tortured. And how was it known that they were faithful? Because they didn't recant. That's how it was known they were faithful. They didn't back up. Even though it was costing them pain in their body, they did not back up. Recant. Disclaim or say that salvation is by us putting you under the water rather than by the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, no. Amen. You and I have no concept of that. We don't. But their faith was manifested by them saying, no, I will not go against my Savior. And those maybe that even yielded to the temptation to recant, and they were smitten by the Lord in their hearts and their souls. They'd sinned against God. They came back and said, it's by Jesus Christ that I've been saved. Not because I was baptized as a baby.
Right.
And they willingly walked right back into that torture that was being administered to them in whatever way. You know the accounts. No doubt it's been taught in this church and told about different martyrs and different ones. Some that they did yield, but then they were so smitten of the Lord because they were the children of God that they said, no, I cannot go against my Savior. And they turned right back around and went back.
Amen.
The just shall live by faith. We'll serve the Lord. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings publicly. Over there in Galatians chapter 3, we're heading to a point that it says that cursed is the one that hangs on a tree. Man, I've been thinking about that. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But consider about you being taken and nailed to a stake or a cross or a tree. You can't go anywhere. It's in front of everybody. And there you are in the shame. And even if they take, and as they did our Lord, they caused him to be naked there before the people, I believe. They took his clothes from him. And he can't go anywhere. Can't move. And beyond that, there on that tree, he suffered.
Amen.
They suffer there, writhing in that pain and that anguish there as others look on. It's a cursed thing to be put on a stake and held up there above the earth before all to watch the suffering and anguish of that torment and torture. Because you can't get away from it when you've been put there. You have no ability to get off that tree by yourself. You know what? Our Lord and Savior had the ability to.
Right.
And he chose not to.
Amen. Amen.
And I have times that I'm ashamed to live for him. I have times, and he having done that for me, I have times that I want to hold a bitter grudge or hold envy in my heart. I ought to be ashamed of myself, not of the Lord. He wasn't ashamed of me. But he endured that shame for me because he's faithful. I need to be faithful. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment, verse 36. They were stoned. And they didn't say, I recant. I go back on my stand about the Lord Jesus Christ. I take it back. It's through you, big church. It's through you, big priest. It's through you, big pope. It's through you, pagan way. No. They didn't. And it was by their stand unto death that their faith was manifested to the world. So much so that the brother wrote about them. And how many times have they been a witness to you and me and to the children of God over the centuries and millennia? Amen? Yeah. The just shall live by faith. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Can you imagine being sawn? Your appendages being sawn off and enduring that. To be drawn and quartered. But there were those that endured it for their Lord and Savior. We just can't comprehend it, can we? It's so. May God help us that we would comprehend it. Before we get out of this place, you and I may be called on to do so. Tell you what, you better know what you believe. You pray for me that I'll be steadfast. Pray one for another that we'd be steadfast. It may be in our lives, that's the way our faith is going to be made manifest. The greatest witness that we would ever have is to stand for the Lord. And sometimes we have a hard time just getting to services. Sometimes we have a hard time just telling somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we have a hard time of just giving of ourselves to the service of the Lord and His church. And the Lord did what He did for us. Listen, the just shall live by faith. I do this, 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 and this for the Lord and for the church. I'm thankful for it. It's not enough. It's not enough. Don't ever think that it's enough. You can't outgive the Lord. We can't outgive the Lord. We can't. Brother Jim, I'm doing all I can. You and the Lord have got to figure that out. And I'm thankful for you that you do. I'm thankful for you that you're here tonight. But check it out, you and the Lord. Are you doing all He wants you to do? Are you doing all you can do for Him? You can ball up against me. But are you balling up against the Lord? May the Lord help us. I'm preaching to me, folks. I'm preaching to me, too. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. We're tempted. All you got to do is just go back on this teaching that you have. What you say the Bible says here, all you got to do is just go back on that. We'll let up. All you got to do is go back on that. We'll leave your wife alone. We'll leave your kids alone. All you got to do is just go back. They were faithful, weren't they? They were faithful. The just shall live by faith, and it is manifested in their lives. They were tempted, were slain with a sword, wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, as they were looked on by others, and the account of their suffering for the sake of the Lord came up, they said they were faithful. They were faithful because they'd been saved by the Lord and they loved their Lord and they were faithful. They lived by faith. It just wasn't talk. Because when it came down to even the giving of their life, they stood in it. All these having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. I believe that's speaking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Here, you and I, we look back on the fulfillment of the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we look for His return, and we believe that He's coming. Amen? Do you?
Amen.
You know, it's really manifested by the way we live. We say we're looking for it. But look over in 1 John chapter 2 going into chapter 3, and it'll tell you about the one that's looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, what that looking forward to that return will cause him to do. Purify himself.
Right.
One that believes that Jesus Christ is coming back will purify himself.
Right.
Not just get up and meet a level. This is good enough. Listen, there's no level that is good enough. There's no level that's good enough. I remember times my pastor would preach about these things and mention these things. I said, I'm doing all I can do. But the Lord's helped me to see what He was talking about now. I need to devote my whole life to the Lord and everything that I do, looking for what He would have me to do in it. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. We look forward to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and look backward and to his death, burial, and resurrection. You know, there were those, these saints that are being spoken about here were not just New Testament saints, but they were those even beforehand that looked forward to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, looked forward to Messiah coming, looked forward to Messiah coming, and then maybe having a vague understanding about his return. Look what a blessing you and I have. We look back to his coming and salvation and the atonement and redemption that he's made. It's sure, it's happened. We see it by the eyes of faith. We have the account that it took place, and we look forward to his return. What an exciting time to live. Do you ever think there'd be an earthquake on the East Coast? That hurricane that's going to come up the East Coast? First thing you think about is your retirement. I'm being honest. We ought to be thinking that the Lord's coming back. Because he said there's going to be stuff going to be going haywire. And that haywire, that's a bad term. There's going to be things in the judgment of the earth and him backing away, the Holy Spirit backing away. There's going to be things that are going to come about, right? Earthquakes and things like that. The old earth is getting ready and is groaning for the return of the Lord. Even the earth is groaning for the return of the Lord. Back in Galatians chapter 3. Verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. The proofs that have been given. Amen. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. You claim the law for salvation, what you can do, what you can offer, what you can accomplish. The next verse says, you're tied down to something that won't save you and that'll kill you. I'm glad I've got a living Savior, aren't you? He's a living Savior and he gives life to his children. We'll take a look more about that tree next time. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Don't come to the services and just blow off the Word of God. Don't come to the services and just say, that's not to me. That I don't need that. Don't take it. Don't come to the services and just check out. We've all done that. Right? We all know how to check out. And I tell you what, many of you, you've been working, and I know you're tired. I understand that. And I'm thankful that in spite of being tired, you came and tried. But listen, if you're not saved, don't just come to these services and check out. I know I'm a poor preacher, but listen to what God is saying to you, because he's coming back. And then the whole complexion of your life is going to change dramatically if you go into that time after the Lord Jesus Christ comes back having not been saved. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Draw nigh to him while he is near. Because there's coming a time that he's not going to be so near. And the thing is the doctrine of this church and the doctrine of the Scripture and those things that are there that the Lord has given to us as his people and as his church, that tells us about the security of our souls and what the Lord has done for us and all that. Don't take that doctrine that's given to the Lord's people and don't take that and use that against God and make your situation of a lack of repentance and a lack of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ God's fault. Because listen, you know what? I'm not mad. It's just very, very important. You cannot understand the doctrine of the Lord given in the Scripture to the Lord's people in the Lord's church. You know why? Because you're dead. You need to listen to what the Lord says to you as a sinner. Right. And the Lord says, repent and believe the gospel. The Lord says, come unto him. And he'll give you rest. And so hear the Lord speaking. Don't listen to a word I got to say. You listen to what the Lord says. Because without Him as your Savior, you're going to hell. And it's real. And it's hot. And it's dark. And it's torment. And it's wailing and gnashing of teeth forever and ever. The only respite will be that bringing out for the great white throne judgment of God, and then cast into the lake of fire.